Now, as we go back, I'm now flipping back to Galatians 3. Now that we're back into Galatians, all of these things we just talked about, we're going to see them again and again. So we're going to, but it's helpful to remember that. So keep some of that story in mind, and we'll refer back to it in a little bit. So we're back to Galatians 3. Let me go back to verse 6 again, where we kind of left off. Consider the case of Abraham. He believed in God, and it was credited to him as an act of righteousness. So here's part of Paul's theme. How is it that Abraham was made righteous? It wasn't by the covenant of the law. It wasn't by circumcision. That was actually part of, in a sense, his punishment for not persevering in faith. But instead, it was because of his faith. It was because of the act of faith. This means, verse 7, that those who believe are sons of Abraham. Verse 7, this is a radical change. There are ways in which St. Paul is taking Old Testament concepts and arguments that come from the Judaizers, and he's flipping them all on their head. Because what the Judaizers probably came in to tell the Galatians, he says that if you want to be a son of Abraham, then you have to be a son of Abraham in the flesh. Either be a physical descendant, or at least follow that covenant inscribed in the flesh, the covenant of circumcision. St. Paul turns that all on its head. Verse 7, he says, if you want to be a son of Abraham, then you do what Abraham did, have faith. Abraham had faith before he had to follow the covenant of circumcision. So he's using the very same argument the Judaizers certainly came in to talk about. You want to be a child of Abraham, don't you? Jesus was a child of Abraham. He was a descendant of Abraham, and you want to be that too. Therefore, you must do what Abraham had to do. St. Paul turns it on its head by talking about Abraham's faith, not his circumcision. Verse 8, because Scripture saw in advance that God's way of justifying the Gentiles would be through faith. It foretold this good news to Abraham, all nations shall be blessed in you. That was Genesis 12. That was right away at the beginning. That was not after circumcision. That was before circumcision was introduced. Verse 9, thus it is that all who believe are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. If you believe, then you're like Abraham, who believed. And in this, then, you have life. Verse 10. All who depend on observance of the law, on the other hand, are under a curse. It is written, cursed is he who does not abide by everything in the book of the law and carry it out. Now, one of the things that St. Paul is doing is he's using quotation after quotation. That quotation comes right out of Deuteronomy 27. Let me just ask this question, and it depends on what version of the Bible you have or what your Bibles are like. Do you see anywhere in your Bible, under Galatians 3, verse 10, do you have any little notes that say this refers to Deuteronomy 27? Do you have a little side notation? Okay. Now, we could go back and look at Deuteronomy 27 if you wanted. And again, if you want, like to look these references up, we can do that. I'm not sure it's important for us to do that now. But that's what those citations mean. So if you see a little citation in there that says it's a quotation or a similar expression as something else found in the Bible, and if you want to go see the other one, go back to Deuteronomy 27, a place where the Levites were proclaiming 12 great curses to all of the Israelites. Cursed be the one who does this. Most of them, cursed be the one who makes a carved or molten idol. Cursed be the one who dishonors his father or his mother. And at the very end, cursed be him who does not fulfill the law. Okay. So those who are under the curse is the one who does not abide by everything in the law. So all who depend on the observance of the law are under a curse. The curse that if they don't do what the law says, then the curse comes upon them. I'm trying to think of how to say this. Let me do it quote by quote. I'm going to do this quote by quote. Do you think that the Galatians, these Gentiles, who didn't know anything about Moses until the Judaizers came along, do you think they know what Deuteronomy 27 says? Okay. Why would he go quote Deuteronomy 27 verse 26 to them? I mean, would that be powerful for them? They have no frame of reference. But St. Paul quoted it. Now, why would St. Paul quote something that they wouldn't have any frame of reference for? Unless maybe they did have a frame of reference for it. Because maybe the Judaizers brought it up. Okay, see, so one of the ways of looking at this is that St. Paul can be taking the very quotations that were probably used by his opponents, the agitators, to come in and say, aha, let me prove to you that St. Paul was wrong. So then St. Paul goes back to those very same quotes and says, let me prove to you that I'm right. Okay, does that's in the background of this as we're going through this. So people came along and said, you have to keep the law because if you don't keep the law, you're under a curse. St. Paul says, yes, that's absolutely correct. If you do depend on the law, you are under the curse because you're accepting the law. And once you bind yourself to the law, then you are cursed if you don't follow through on it. In other words, so St. Paul's setting up a choice. You either choose Christ or you choose the law. If you want the law, then you're taking all the curses that come with it. For my part, I'll take Christ. Okay, you see how he's taking arguments that would have come right out of the mouths of his opponents and turning them back around. And there'll be several quotes, and we'll do this for each quote that we see. Verse 11. It should be obvious that no one is justified in God's sight by the law, for, quote, the just man shall live by faith. There's another passage. You might see HB. That's from Habakkuk, one of the minor prophets. Now, that's a quotation that St. Paul's lifting right out of it. They probably heard the very same thing. He says, I can quote Scripture here as I do this. The just man lives by faith. This is probably one that the Judaizers would not have mentioned. But St. Paul is introducing more quotes. He says, you want to see them quote the Old Testament? I'll quote the Old Testament. Okay, I'll show you other passages as well. And so times at which the prophets, when the prophets were in the Old Testament, when they reminded the people, he says, if you want to be justified, you live by faith. You have to live by faith in the Lord God. Verse 12. But the law does not depend on faith. Its terms are, quote, whoever does these things shall live by them. And again, he goes back to Deuteronomy he's going back to Leviticus as he talks about that. So he says, when you're under the law, then you have to live by the details of the law. Verse 13, Christ has delivered us from the power of the law's curse. Remember, the law carries with it all those curses. Instead, Christ delivered us from the power of the curse by himself becoming a curse. And this is, it's a very eloquent little presentation, a little turnaround of these very things. So they told you that the law comes with curses? You're absolutely right. And Jesus took that curse upon himself. As it is written, quote, accursed is anyone who is hanged on a tree. And that's a quotation from Deuteronomy again. So in all of the different laws that were there, you remember how much the Old Testament was concerned about purity, ritual purity, not touching things that were unclean. It said you cannot leave overnight the body of someone who's hung on a tree. That is a curse. You will curse the land if you do that. So don't do that. Remember how much they were in a hurry to take the bodies down on the cross because it was the eve of the Passover. You know, it's a curse. They didn't want a curse to come upon them for leaving the bodies up overnight on the cross. You don't do that. St. Paul said that. Okay. So what did Jesus do? He became a curse for us by being hung on a tree. He says that that passage in Deuteronomy is actually fulfilled by Christ, who willingly accepted the curse of the law for our salvation. So how is it that we're freed from the law? Because Jesus Christ has delivered us from the power of the law's curse, this is verse 13, by himself taking upon himself the very curse of the law. Verse 14, this has happened so that through Christ Jesus, the blessing bestowed on Abraham might descend on the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, thereby making it possible for us to receive the promised Spirit through faith. Now we're going to get into some details about the law, so we see the sense of like the law is there. The law has now been satisfied. It has been paid for. And so now we're back to the original promise, that gift of faith. The original promise that came to us from Abraham. That gift of faith, and then what's the sign of the Lord's promise? The Spirit. So we're back, verse 14, to the Spirit. That's how we know that the law has been fulfilled, because now we receive the promise. Now we receive the fruits of that sacrifice, the Spirit.